Welcome to episode number 296.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast, your guide to freedom and fun through RV travel. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this podcast is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance the RV lifestyle. So welcome. We are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, it looks different than it did before the lockdown, but on this episode of the RV Podcast, we have lots of news about the RV lifestyle resuming. People are out and about again in their RVs, and we're going to talk here in the RV Podcast about what's open for camping, what's not, and how RVers are finally setting out once again after a very active Memorial Day weekend that saw many campers getting out there for the first time in months. We'll have the latest, and plus we have RV tips, an off-the-beaten-path trip idea from the Burkitts, and an in-depth look at Care Camps, one of the most inspirational places on earth and one that shares the joy and excitement of camping with those who need it the most. So all that and much, much more in this episode 296 of the RV Podcast. So let's get into it. Let's bring on my RV Podcast co-host, who just happens to be my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, here we are again. Week number 12 coming to you from Okaloosa Island, Florida. We have snuck away a couple of times in our RV, and we've got plans now to hit the road. But a lot of people are out there again. Isn't that nice to hear?
It's very nice to hear.
We heard a lot in the questions that we got from folks on our YouTube live streams, our Ask Us Anything that goes on every Sunday night, our virtual campground that went on last Friday night. And we surveyed everybody, and I would say a whole lot of people are out there camping again.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
Fresh air, sunshine, and social distancing. You can do it all.
Social distancing is being done. And it's challenging to figure out and to say, you know, where things are open, where things are normal, if there is such a thing as normal in this post-COVID-19 world. And a number of states, obviously, are still shut down. Our home state of Michigan, for example, state parks are not even scheduled to open. Well, I shouldn't say they're even scheduled then. They're closed at least until June 21st, and it could be extended, so we don't know.
I was thinking it was the 12th.
I think it's the 21st.
Okay.
Maybe it's the 12th. I don't know. I don't know either. But it's not for a while. So that's not going to be fun for a lot of folks in Michigan, although there are campgrounds, that, private ones ready to open, and there's always places to boondock. In our check with our listeners over the weekend, people were pretty much everywhere, most in state campgrounds, most in many of them in private campgrounds, and a few of them were actually boondocking. A couple of people were mooch docking. They had used their RVs to go and visit friends and relatives and mooch docking in neighborhoods. So it's exciting to hear. We have lots of RV news, podcast news of the week, so we might as well get right to that now.
Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Let's start with what potentially may be one of the most controversial changes to the way we visit national parks that has ever been considered. Rocky Mountain National Park has proposed having all park visitors sign up in advance for a time to enter the park, in a move to promote social distancing. If approved, the advanced sign-in is estimated to reduce visitors by 40% and hopefully eliminate confusion. Visitors may feel wondering if they will get in on a particular day or not. This will likely be tried by other national parks, as they almost all are exploring different ways to limit the number of daily visitors. We predict this will be approved by the National Park Service and will most likely go into effect over the summer.
Now, it'll be interesting to see how many people are actually out there camping over the summer, because some states bordering the national parks may be closed, but for years now, we have noticed more and more and more people using national parks. So the crowd issue has been significant. So that's a big change that we are likely to see this summer. And as the various states begin to open up from COVID-19 restrictions, some obviously more quickly than others, we're faced with yet a new list of considerations. Is it safe to go swimming? Can you go hike on a trail? What if the trail's busy? What about camping? Well, we found a report this weekend that runs those questions by experts, and we're going to link to it in the show notes for this episode. But we can report right off the top that the risk of catching COVID-19 from camping is considered by the experts to be low. Now, we know that intuitively. We all knew that, but now it's official. If you want to get the actual text of that report, you look in the show notes for this episode, rvlifestyle.com/296, and we will give you all the details on what activities outside are safe and what are considered risky. But camping, that's considered safe.
If you are hoping to cross the Canadian-U.S. border for a camping trip or a road trip to Alaska anytime in the immediate future, we have some bad news. The ban on non-essential travel between the two nations was extended to June 21st last week. And we're also hearing from several sources that if the border does open for non-essential travel in late June, there might be new requirements for all who enter Canada, such as quarantines for some travelers. This is being watched closely by U.S. RVers who want to visit places like the Canadian Rockies or pass through Canada on their way north to Alaska. And of course, many Canadians plan RV trips to the U.S. There is a tremendous amount of confusion about this right now, and lots of pressure on the two governments to open up. We'll keep you informed.
As we noted, lots of RVers went camping this past weekend, and several stories out over the weekend told of campgrounds with closed showers, campsites that were being filled with every other one left open for social distancing. Most private campgrounds were open. Some state parks open only to in-state residents. Some state parks, like Michigan, remain totally closed. But the good news is that in most places, you could find open places to camp, and more are opening up each day. And as always, if you're heading out, we can't stress enough, check ahead to see what's open. Every state's different, and Campendium has been doing, I think, the best job over these past 3 months in doing daily updates that it's updated every day, showing you what campgrounds, what campsites, what parks are open in what states. And we will put a link to that Campendium list that's updated every day, like we said, right in our show notes, rvlifestyle.com/296.
We've been sharing in this podcast several recent reports about wildlife in many different parts of the country, and the national parks getting used to having the parks all to themselves. Officials worried that the animals would get a bit overwhelmed once tourists returned, and it happened. On the second day after partially reopening last week, Yellowstone National Park reported a woman injured by a bison after she got too close. The animal knocked the woman to the ground and slightly injured her, but she declined medical treatment. A few years back, we interviewed a ranger about the Yellowstone Pledge. It is worth taking a look to review. We'll put a link to it in the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com /296.
There were so many stories about camping and RVing and the outdoors and people getting outside for the first time in a long time that we'll put links to as many as we can find here in the show notes for you. But there were three other stories that I think I want to just mention briefly. The first of them is in New Mexico, where 40 people have been charged with fishing and hiking in closed parks. 40 plus people cited by local police. New Mexico is one of the states that still has a very strict lockdown policy. And it's been really interesting. These people who were cited and caught hiking or fishing, they weren't charged with, you know, violating, you know, a law about the lockdown or anything. They were charged with criminal misdemeanors, which carry a 6-month jail term and a $1,000 fine. So this is not a happy thing for most of them. Now, I know a couple of the cases, people went to the judge and the judge dismissed them. They still had to pay a lot of court costs, but New Mexico is one of those states with a strict lockdown policy. That's pretty crazy. What did you get busted for? Why are you in the big joint? I was fishing. There you go. A little more ominous story. For those of you who travel with dogs in and wonder about wildlife someplace, this happened in British Columbia a couple of days ago near the Onion Lake Cross Country Ski Trails. There was a couple there who had been camping in their truck camper, just woken up 7:30 Saturday morning. They were inside the camper with one of their dogs, Cash, a 7-year-old lab mix, and Arlo, a 10-year-old husky mix, was outside when two wolves started to attack. Now, the owners suspected that the wolves saw Arlo out there all by himself, and they didn't realize there was another dog and two humans hidden from view. When Cash heard the wolves, he was one inside. He bolted, got out of the camper, and went to help out Arlo. And Arlo and Cash fought off the wolves. They actually chased him into the woods. The dogs were okay, although Cash suffered some serious bite marks, but he spent the last few days recovering at home, and he's doing okay. But that's unusual for wolves to attack, but it's a reminder that even in the daytime, you need to keep your dog close by. You need to have an eye on him all the time. And if you're in bear country or wolf country, obviously, they should probably be inside with you, or you should be outside with them. And one other story. This is in California, another one of those states that has massive lockdowns still in effect. Now, they had been allowing outdoor exercise, but one of the more popular trails, the Eaton Canyon in the Altadena, California area, it's a very popular spot. So popular that the county ended up closing Eaton Canyon Sunday after it attracted so many hikers. Many of them who were not following coronavirus restrictions. The trails were open earlier. The parking lots apparently had remained shut down. Doesn't make sense to open the trails but shut down the parking lot, but they did. That's California for you. And that's caused many hikers to park then in surrounding neighborhoods, which certainly upset local residents. Many felt the parking issues were making traffic on local streets dangerous to pedestrians and other drivers. People getting out of their cars, walking around in large groups. It was a little concerning, one of the residents said in one of the news accounts we read. So anyway, there were so many cars and so many people walking around that the county, Los Angeles County, shut down the Eaton Canyon Trail. So there you go. It's kind of a mix of outdoor news and camping news, but most of the country, we can say, has begun to open up, at least in terms of being able to find places to camp, and many RVers now on the road, and things, well, far from normal, are at least getting active again, and there is an RV lifestyle after all. This part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. Rad Power Bikes are America's number one e-bike brand. They offer direct-to-consumer pricing. You can get a powerful premium electric bike from Rad Power Bikes, and now they give you free shipping and even a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Rad Power Bikes are built for everything and priced for everyone. About $1,000 cheaper, it seems, about half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because they don't have that retail dealer chain that so many other e-bike manufacturers do. All the Rad Power bikes can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. What I like about them, though, is Jennifer and I both have one, is you can pedal yourself. And you have the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle using five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost. Perfect for people who want to get back into riding. Maybe you're recovering from injury or just want to have fun with these things. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. If you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off, plus free shipping on all their bikes. Just go to them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right, this comes from Mark and Lori. Mike and Jennifer, we're looking for a new RV, and this one that we really like has a diesel engine. We've never had a diesel before, and we're told that we need to make sure we have enough DEF in it. What is that? It has something to do with the diesel, said the salesperson. How much does it cost, and how often do we have to add it? It sounds like a big hassle. Well, DEF stands for diesel emission fluid, and it is simply an add-on that the government added to reduce diesel emissions. And so this fluid indeed does have to be replaced. We have found in the many different RVs we've had now that use diesel and have to have DEF, I have to top it off about every 5,000 miles. And if it's really, really hot and I'm driving it hard, maybe even a little less, but 4,000 to 5,000 miles, I have to top it off. The new 2019 Sprinter chassis that I have actually has a DEF gauge on it, and you can see at any, it's almost like a gas tank. You can see always what the state of the tank, the DEF tank is. Other ones, you have to kind of look around, and it often will catch you off guard. You'll suddenly get a little notice that says, oh, you got to top off your DEF. It's very simple to do, and almost every fuel stop has it. It costs, what is it, $15 to $17?
It's not too bad.
Yeah, and so we always get a jug of it. We try and keep one with us at all times.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going out in the middle of nowhere, make sure you carry an extra one.
And I think, you know, the smaller ones are 2.5 gallons, and I will, I'll get below about half the tank on the DEF gauge, and I'll put a 2.5 gallons in, and it will pretty much top it off. And then I'm good for another 5,000 miles or so. So it's not a big hassle. It is a hassle, though. I mean, it really is. Before 2012, the first one we have, we didn't have to worry about that. And it was really after 2012 that I believe all those things started.
It isn't a hassle as soon as you understand how it works.
Yeah, yeah. But once you know,
you're like, what's this?
Yep. And it's simple to get, you know, their little tank, you get a little hose on it, and you just make sure you put it in the right spot. It's clearly marked when you open the hood, DEF. And it always sounds more complicated than it is once you see something like that.
And they're making it easier to fill and find the DEF. Everything's getting made easier than when we first started years ago.
Oh yeah, when it first started, I remember the first time it went out, we were up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We could not find a place to get it. They didn't have it. And now almost every large service station has it. Some truck stops, they even dispense it right with the gas, with the fuel or the diesel fuel. You can just flip a switch and top it off with DEF. So it's very simple to get now. And as I say, it's not that much of a hassle.
And you're doing right. You're checking into it. You're understanding it before you need to know what's happening.
Yep. Good for you, Mark and Lori. All right. Thank you guys so much. We'd love to get your questions. Here's how you can do it.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
Part of the podcast brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. Jen and I have them in our RV. We've got two Battle Born batteries, and it just allows us to really get out there, stay out there longer, live off the grid. Lithium batteries are the de facto standard now in the RV lifestyle. And the reason why is because lithium, you know, they weigh about half as much as AGM batteries. And when you travel an RV, weight is a big deal. And saving half the weight of a battery, you know, two of them, that's a pretty significant weight savings. But more importantly, the batteries themselves just offer better performance. They charge faster. They charge fuller. Lithium batteries are longer lasting. They're maintenance free. And the team of battery experts at Battleborne Batteries are familiar with almost all of the existing components on just about every type of RV or towable, trailer, cab over, camper. They know them all. And most of the solutions that they can come up with for you, you can just literally drop and replace the existing batteries with the Battleborne batteries. It's not a big deal. All Battleborne batteries have a 10-year guarantee. Call Battleborne. They can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, inverter, charger. They know what you need. And the best way to get to them is through rvlifestyle.com/lithium. And again, be sure and tell them you heard about it on the RV Podcast.
Time now for the RV Podcast interview of the week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
We want to talk about one of the most inspiring charities out there, one that is close to Jennifer and my hearts. We had expected that we were going to be able to spend a lot of time with the folks at KOA Care Camps this summer. And obviously, everything has sort of changed, and we don't know whether it'll be this summer or next summer, but the care camps are going to go on. You may not have heard of them before, and it is one of the most inspiring charities out there. First started by KOA, but now a full-fledged nonprofit of its own, supported by many different companies in the RV industry, many other campgrounds, and lots of everyday RVers like you and me. Care Camps gives a week-long camping experience to children with cancer. Now, you need to know about Care Camps. So in our RV Podcast interview of the week, we're going to take a few minutes to learn about how our help is especially needed now in these post-COVID-19 days when social distancing and protecting these young, vulnerable kids is presenting some really significant challenges that Care Camps has never had to come up against before. But the Care Camps kids have been looking forward to camp all year long, and they are counting on us. As the Care Camps Director of Development explains in this week's RV Podcast interview of the week. Well, to find out more about Care Camps, no one better than my friend Jennifer Mercer, who joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Jennifer.
Well, hello, Mike. How's it going there in Florida today?
Well, we're anxious to get out traveling, but like most of the world, it's slowly opening up. I have been looking for a good opportunity to tell my listeners all about Care Camps. Ever since we got together back in Arizona in, I think it was early February.
Yeah.
So now is as good a time as ever, especially with all of the confusion hurled our way by COVID-19 and the pandemic. But for my listeners who are not familiar, why don't you give us an overview of what KOA Care Camps are, how it came about, and then let's talk about how COVID-19 is affecting the care camps this year. So take it away. Tell us about Care Camps.
All right. Well, as for what Care Camps is, Care Camps is a nonprofit organization that raises funds to help ensure that children with cancer and their families have the chance to attend special oncology camps. And at these camps, they get to experience the healing nature of the outdoors, the way we all have to in the RVing industry. And they find joy that comes from spending time with building friendships and having fun with friends and all the normal stuff that normal kids get to enjoy that are oftentimes changed in the face of crisis like cancer.
Yeah.
So thanks to...
How does a typical camp work? And how many are there around the country?
Well, I'd love to say there is no typical camp because each one is unique and different. Care Camps funds 135 different special oncology camps all over the United States and Canada. The one thing they have in common tends to be that one of their main functions tends to be kind of a typical summer camp experience that most of us would recognize. If we didn't get to experience it ourselves, we would recognize the summer camp, you know, camping around a big lake and going hiking and, you know, ziplining and doing all these things that kids do just to have fun together. The only difference is that these are medically supervised oncology camps. So kids with cancer have some special medical needs. And so each of these camps is equipped medically as well as with professionally trained counseling staff to handle the unique needs of these kids. And then many of the camps now are also doing some special weeks specifically for siblings of kids with cancer because they're kind of the invisible casualty of this whole thing. The siblings sometimes become invisible overnight. The day that their brother or sister gets diagnosed with cancer, all of the attention, of course, goes to the child that's sick. And so those siblings, there's a lot of feelings that come up with that. Like I said, they kind of become invisible. So the camps, some of the camps have specially tailored weeks for the siblings, and some of them wrap the siblings right in with the kids with cancer and allow the siblings to have a week together to just enjoy that bonding and that relationship, which is pretty cool.
Talk about how it came about. And I obviously with the name KOA Care Camps, it certainly tells us about probably the main name behind it, which is Campgrounds of America. And this is one of the reasons Jennifer and I so like KOA is because this really stemmed from a lot of their initiatives. So help everybody to understand that this isn't a branded thing for KOA. This is the charity. This is how they want to help. But
right,
we want to also honor them for that too.
Right. And that's the most amazing thing I think about this entire thing. So KOA Campground Owners, the Owners Association, started this charity. It's 36 years ago this year, they founded the charity. And when they founded the charity, their goal was to bring some hope and healing to these kids with cancer and their families. And so they recognized pretty quickly that they weren't in the business. They don't know how to run oncology camps. But they did know how to do some fundraisers to raise money to help support them. So they started basically with essentially a fundraising arm for all these camps. And so KOAs around the nation, and now other campgrounds that are not KOAs have even joined on board, all do fundraisers to help support care camps. And so we KOA was the first one to say, this has grown beyond KOA. So now it's just called Care Camps when it's outside of the KOA system. So we just call it Care Camps. And we're here to help make sure that every child with cancer that wants a chance to attend one of the special oncology camps has the chance to do that free of charge for their family.
Now,
so they don't have to worry about the finances.
When you talk about traditional camp experience, you know, hiking and learning stuff and camp songs and campfires and hanging
exactly.
out together, all that happens at these camps, just like any other kids' camps, except the difference here is that these kids are a special group having some special needs of care, and that is provided. These are regular camps, by the way. When a care camp isn't on, as I understand, most of these campgrounds are used for other kids' camps and stuff. So they're very experienced with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah, most of our camps rent their campgrounds, and whether it's, you know, a Girl Scout camp or a Boy Scout camp or a Kiwanis camp or whatever, they're usually owned by someone else, and our care camp rents that for a week or two or three. We are lucky enough that some of our camps actually their own campground, which is amazing, and they're able to kind of carry on programming throughout the entire summer, which is pretty awesome.
Now, everything was moving along as another great year for care camps. Everything was looking just terrific, 135 scheduled, and then this thing called COVID-19 struck. How has that affected the plans, and how are you guys moving positions and trying to continue to make sure that this wonderful charity is not forgotten?
Well, Mike, it's a wonderful question. How this has affected the care camps across the nation. First of all, the camps are still taking place. It might just look a little different than normal. So that's the most important thing is these kids, they have everything in their life canceled on them, right? All of their life kind of comes to a standstill with this diagnosis. And so the camp directors around the nation, there was one thing they all knew, and that was we can't cancel their camp. So we have to figure out how to make this look a little different to make sure that we're keeping them safe, because many of these kids are very familiar with social distancing and all of the protocols we're now following. This has been their life for a while. So they're used to that. So now camps may be virtual camps. There's going to be a lot of virtual camps taking place where they have cabin chats on Zoom, with five or six kids getting to chat and talk about stuff with one of their professional counselors that's on staff to help bring the kids closer together so that those relationship forming activities can still take place. They're also doing things like camp in a box where they're actually sending big boxes to the kids, and each box contains multiple other packages, and they get to open one every day and have different things to do each day of the week, which is another way to keep the kids engaged. Some of the camps are actually, the ones that are lucky enough to own their campground, are actually renting the cabins free of charge to these families of the cancer kids. And the families get to use the cabin for a few days as a family for free and have a little bit of family bonding time and kind of a free little vacation. And that's another way that they're taking advantage of this time to do something special for these families. So there's definitely a lot of changes that are happening rapidly, but the camp directors are working so closely together to try and come up with best practices and protocols. I don't think they've ever worked this closely together before, but their goal is really just to do everything they can to still give these kids a great experience in the midst of the coronavirus epidemic and everything that means for all of us.
There are campgrounds, though, that are open, and states are reopening. Will there be any actual physical camps where the kids come and physically spend a week there?
We're hoping so, but these kids, traditional KOA campgrounds are open, but those mean that people are all naturally socially distanced in their RVs or campsites. When you go to a traditional summer camp, you stay in a cabin. And so there's lots of kids in together in a cabin. And so obviously with current protocols in place, that isn't feasible for kids that are already immunocompromised. So the difference between camping in an RV and camping in large cabins with lots of kids together means even if regular camping activities have resumed, these kids are at greater risk, and therefore we have to be a little bit more careful.
Now, for a lot of RVers, there's been a lot of disappointment this year about, oh, I can't go out camping, I can't do this because of this state being closed. Now that's opening up a little, but it's still, RVers understand that disappointment. It's got to be even worse for these kids, you know, who know, they're pretty smart kids. They know that they may not have, you know, next year or the year after, you know, when things get back to whatever normal is. How can our audience, how can we help? How can we make a difference in these kids' lives this year? What can we do to help? Now, it's easy. Money's a big help for everything, but I suspect there's more than that we can do. And give us some pointers, Jennifer, about how we can get involved and help with care camps.
Well, you're right. These kids, I think all of us look forward to our family vacations. We look forward to that downtime and that time just to heal and renew. These kids need that more than anyone. And so this has been a spring filled with a lot of tears, but also a lot of joy when people come up with ideas and ways that they can help. So there, right now, the number one need is financial, because these camps still have staff. All of these different activities that they're doing still take financial contributions in order to operate. The camp in a box, obviously, if you've ever sent a large box, you know it's quite expensive, and they're trying to send 300 of these things out. So financial is the number one way. some of the camps may need volunteers and things like that at the different camps. And if you go to our website, you can actually look on our, we have a map that shows where all the different camps are. And you're welcome to contact a camp directly and ask them if they need any volunteers, because they might need help packing boxes. They might need help moderating cabin chats and doing things like that. So there are always lots of ways to get involved and help if you're interested.
Give I'll put a link in the show notes description below, but in the podcast show notes. But why don't you give that right now for people who are listening and they don't want to bother to go look it up? Give that website.
Sure. It's just carecamps.org. So if you just type in carecamps.org, it'll pull it right up and you'll get to see all the information. And you can read our annual report. You can see we're a charity that spends our money very wisely. So we try and make sure that every single dollar that's donated counts to the maximum. So Charity Navigator, our criteria, we would meet the 4-star criteria for Charity Navigator, which is their top rating. So for those that are concerned about making sure that the money goes to a charity that will spend it wisely, yeah. That helps.
We were so looking forward to it. Jennifer and I were planning on visiting and doing a couple of videos, and maybe we still can do that yet this summer, and we will give it a try. But for our audience,
we sure hope.
Yeah. Fortunately, we know we think we know. Nobody knows anything, but we hope we have next year that we can do it. If we can't, but that's in our plans. And I just wanted my audience to get a sense of the love, the joy of helping these kids. To give them a chance to be a part of that. I mean, this is such a great use of the whatever resources God has given all of us to help make a difference in lives. And these kids, you might put the nail in this for us by telling everybody what this means to these kids. You've seen all the testimonials. You've heard from the kids. But for my audience who maybe have never heard of it before, what does this mean to the kids? What do they say? What kind of feedback do you get?
Mike, this is their everything. For them, this is the one thing that they look forward to the entire year. It's the one place where they feel like they fit in with other kids. They understand what each other are going through. Most of these kids, when they go to school, if they're able to go to school, they're so different than all their classmates, and their classmates don't know how to identify and connect with them. Their friends pull away because they don't know what to say. And it's a tough time for these kids. They lose a lot of their friendships that were very dear to them. So when they go to camp, camp is connection. Camp is healing. It's what they look forward to. It gets them through the entire year. And those relationships that they form with other kids, which we're still working hard to make sure happen this year, those relationships are what help them get through the hard times that come with a diagnosis like cancer.
I think that the description that has resonated the most with me is one of the kids who said, "Care Camp lets me be a kid. You mm-hmm. know, I'm not a patient. I'm a kid." And mm-hmm. these kids need that. Well, I don't have to say Absolutely. Anymore because I know our audience. We have tugged at their heartstrings a little bit. And we hope to tell our audience a whole lot more about care camps over the years, this year, next year, from now on. And we just want to urge them to just go to that site. We don't have to sell anything. Just go to carecamps.org and listen to the stories. And Jennifer Mercer, I know that you have worked hard on this. Your whole team has worked hard because you are not going to let these kids go this summer without having that experience. So
no.
Hats off to you.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, and we appreciate you spreading the word about what Care Camps is all about.
Well, we are going to keep doing that. So carecamps.org, and Jennifer Mercer has been our guest. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for spending some time
with
us.
Thank you so much, Mike.
One of our favorite people, Jennifer Mercer. We thank the world of her.
Yes, we've met her on several occasions, and we really were looking forward to this summer, so hopefully...
Yep.
Maybe it'll still work out.
And we mean that. We hope we've tugged at your heartstrings on this. This is something that we can all get behind because we know how important, we know how awesome it is. We love the outdoors and we know how healing it is to our body and our spirit when we're out there. And these kids, they need it. And you go to the website, there's links in our show notes, rvlifestyle.com/296 or just carecamps.org, you'll find it. And we'll check in with Jennifer and Care Camps a little bit later on in the summer and let you know what's happening there. The interview of the week brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com. where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Sunshine State RVs, they've been a sponsor here on the RV podcast for years now, and we are delighted to have them because we just keep hearing these great reports back from their customers. They have probably the largest selections of small motorhomes that you'll find anywhere, at any dealer, anywhere in the country. They have new small motorhomes. That's all they specialize in, is small motorhomes. They have them from all the major manufacturers, most of them, you know, like the Winnebago Travato, the most popular one in the country. They have that. The Winnebago Era, Coachman, the Coachman Beyond, the Coachman Galleria, the American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC. Those are all brand new models in stock that they have. But if you're looking for a used RV, they probably have the largest inventory of small Class B RVs and Class C RVs anywhere in North America. Their used inventory is huge, from previously owned models back that start back in the 90s all the way up to current year and beyond. You got to go and check them out yourself. They do an incredible, thorough 172-point inspection before they sell any of these vehicles. They make sure that they all work, all the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition. They care about taking care of you. So go to their website and tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast. SunshineStateRVs.com is their address. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
Our friends Tom and Patty Burka travel the country, living off the beaten path and bringing us these great discoveries of things they find as they travel. Sometimes they're right next door. And the lesson, I think, in this fascinating off the beaten path report is for all of us as we travel. Some of us can be traveling less distance than we normally do this summer because of all the restrictions. So take a look around with fresh eyes and don't hesitate to stop when you see something you think, well, what the heck is that?
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. One of the things we enjoy most when traveling is seeing the unusual and surprising things people choose to put in their yards. Just a few miles from our house is a fiberglass hippo. For many years, it sat in front of a 50-style ranch house just off Ohio 161, visible as we passed by on our way to the city. Then, 2 years ago, this little highway was widened into a four-lane, and the addition of an off-ramp meant the destruction of the house in question and the disappearance of the hippo, long a roadside landmark for us. Just last week, we were driving by, and on a whim, I called the Ohio Department of Transportation office nearby and asked if they knew what had happened to our rather misshapen but fanciful friend. The people from the house took it, I was told by the friendly woman who answered the phone. Let me double-check, and I'll call you back. A few minutes later, true to her word, she reported that the family had sold it to some folks who live up the road, but that no one had seen it since. On our way back, we pulled off at the exit and drove up the road a bit, and sure enough, there it was, now newly situated in the front yard of another house.
Suppose you'd like to grace your front yard with an amazing and memorable piece of artwork. Where does yard art come from, anyway? We found at least one answer to that in the crossroads town of Pearson, Florida, among the vast offerings of the Barberville Yard Art Emporium. Carlos Pendola, the shop's owner, came to the USA from Argentina more than 40 years ago, and for most of that time was in the automobile business. Now he creates and collects yard art from around the world to please the customers that flock to his business from all over the country. He loves surprising shoppers with something new and relishes his regular trips to Mexico and other locations to source colorful and interesting wares.
Maybe you'd like a classic chainsaw-carved bear. No? How about a 10-foot pink elephant? Or maybe a giant multicolored rooster? Whether it's a life-size cowboy on his Bronco or a much more understated three-tier fountain, you can find it here. And it's not just giant statuary. There are lovely and ornate tables, chairs, and stands. Teak and cypress figure prominently in the furniture offerings, as does wrought iron. There are thousands of pieces of brightly colored Talavera pottery, ranging from 4-foot urns to number plaques that can be used to identify your house. If you need anything, anything at all, to furnish your patio or lawn or fishing cabin, you'll find it here. Seasonal fruits and vegetables are for sale too, along with locally made jams, jellies, vinegars, sauces, and baked goods.
And, as so often happens, we made a good connection while wandering around the sale barns. Enjoying a sit on a very comfortable teak bench, we were approached by another shopper. "I hope you don't have your heart set on that one," he said, "because I just bought it." We got into conversation, and it turns out he was a retired longtime employee of the Florida Park System. When we asked if he had any good tips for us, he told us to drive a few miles down the road to Blue Springs State Park, where the manatees were on full display. "There'll be a line, but don't let it scare you off. It moves pretty fast." Sure enough, the line was long, but we only waited about 20 minutes before being admitted. We spent the rest of the afternoon picnicking and enjoying the dozens of manatees swimming almost in arm's reach along the boardwalk.
You certainly could find a special something just the right size for personalizing your campsite here in Pearson, but you might just want to bring a trailer because that perfect one-of-a-kind eye-popping roadside wonder you've been looking for to put on the lawn of your Sticks and Bricks residence could well be waiting for you out here off the beaten path.
That's Tom and Patty Burkett. They keep finding those awesome spots, don't they?
They certainly do.
We've been to Blue Springs State Park and saw the manatees in Florida. There's so much to see in Florida. Hey, Florida, by the way, the state parks have pretty much all opened up for camping now. There's a few, I think, near Miami-Dade that still are about to open, are still closed, but are about to open, I think, fairly soon. So Florida is one of the states that has come back. But I just love their tips of just stopping and riding those back roads. We can't emphasize that enough. Don't be in such a hurry that you can't stop and enjoy all this stuff.
And when you have lunch or eat at one of those local restaurants, don't forget to ask folks what they're proud of and what you need to see when you're passing through their community.
There is so much off the beaten path.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching and being a part of the podcast this week. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. You can find the show notes, links to everything we talked to at rvlifestyle.com/296. And get out there. Let us know what you're seeing out there, and we'll hopefully be seeing you out there. Like the Burkett say, somewhere off the beaten path. We look forward to seeing many of you as we slowly all start traveling again. Thanks so much for listening.
Happy trails.